Get out in front. Change the game.
Yeah.
Say that. I'm getting out in front.
I'm getting out in front.
I'm changing the game.
I'm changing the game.
This is real.
This is real.
This is real. You ever feel like that? Too many things are happening because of my mistakes. Too many things are happening in my family because of my mistakes. Now get out, change the game, get out in front.
Right.
So let's turn to Romans 8 and let's prepare ourselves with a full attention to the Word of God this morning in the meditation of our heart and in the words of our mouth. Let's confess this together. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. And so we see in Romans chapter 8, where is that? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, two times, Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That term, Christ Jesus, we see it all through Paul's letters. And he used Christ first because his relationship with Jesus was the anointing. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. Anointed one and his anointing. Jesus operated under that anointing when he was here in the earth, and the results are still being talked about. The Apostle John said, I suppose that if the world itself could contain the books that should be written, it couldn't even contain them. About everything he did in the period of, what, 3 years? It's the most amazing life that ever walked on this earth. Paul called him Christ, the anointed Jesus. The anointed Jesus. And Jesus is absolutely dripping with the anointing. So we see two laws that are diametrically opposed to each other. This is a fallen world. God is in the process of restoring it. But there is the law of sin and death. There is the law of the Spirit of life. The law of sin and death is like gravity that is always pulling us down. Gravity is always in force. I was going to drop something, but you get the point? It's always there. It's in force. Gravity is a constant reminder that we are subject to this earth. We are heavier than air, and we don't fly. But the law of the Spirit of life is like the law of thrust and lift that an airplane wing uses to supersede the law of gravity. We're getting into spiritual laws here that God put into motion in order to be a blessing to us, to support us and help us. And the devil came in and perverted the whole thing. Because he had a envy problem. I tell you, envy is serious. Jealousy, that's serious stuff. But the law of sin and death, gravity, continual reminder that we cannot fly. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know, can you fly? I've had dreams where I was flying.
Yeah.
Have you ever had those? It shows you that in the heart of every man, there is a desire to fly, a desire to conquer the laws of gravity. But that is a constant reminder that we can't fly. It focuses in our inability, tells us that we are not able, that we are presumptuous and ridiculous to believe or think that we can fly. But we figured it out, didn't we? We figured out how to fly. We didn't deal with our inability to fly. What we did was harness the laws that govern it to supersede one law with another law. So the laws of air resistance, thrust and lift, to lift a plane up. So not only one of us could fly, lots of us could fly at the same time. And the miraculous thing about that is, you get all these people in one place, they're all going the same direction. That's a miracle. Oh, you got there? Okay. We can overcome the law of sin and death, not by concentrating on our sin, not by trying to overcome our sins, but by operating in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So it's not what sin is holding you, it's what cycle that's driving you. It's what cycle, what law. Once we focused on the laws that we had to overcome, we used one law and harnessed that law to overcome another law that was already here. That's how we learned how to fly. This is how we learned to walk in faith, by harnessing the law of life. It's not the sin that holds us down. It's the cycle of sin and the law behind it that we need to deal with and operate in. Something that supersedes the law of sin and death. What's stopping us? What's stopping us? Come on, guys.
Me.
You know, I think it's Psalm 78. He said, the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. You can limit God by your unbelief. You can limit God by your lack of knowledge of the Scriptures and applying them in your life. Remember, I told you we are all hungry to know God better, to work in His ways, to understand how He operates, to operate according to the laws of life and not the laws of death. Romans 6:14 says this. You see, once you deal with the root of the problem instead of the fruit of the... Sin is the fruit of the law of sin and death. Sin is the fruit. And if you're always dealing with that sin in your life, you'll always be in a battle with that sin in your life. But when you master the law that's driving that sin, now you're getting to the root of the problem and you start hauling things up by the root, pulling them up by the root, so that they have no more say in your life, no more influence in your life, and you're walking on a high road. A high road of life. See, Jesus wants to have life, abundant life, till it overflows in us. That's His will. So, once you discover that, I'm oversimplifying here, but once you discover that, you'll understand that that law of life is the wind beneath your wings. And you will glide. It's effortless change. You don't have to work at this. All you have to do is believe God. How do you believe God? Be a doer of the word. If He said it, I believe it. That settles it. I'm doing it. If it says to forgive, I forgive. Why would you place yourself under somebody else's power through unforgiveness? God is your source, not them, not your feelings, not your circumstance you're in or find yourself in, not your situation, nothing. God is your source. Amen. If He's your source, it will put you light years out in front of the devil, and he will be wondering how he's going to catch up with you. Look at the life of Jesus. Praise God. So here, look at this. I rest my case. For the law, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. You're not under the dominion of sin. But unless you enforce, see, the devil will get away with whatever he can. He's a thief. He'll get away with whatever you let him get away with. Why is that? Because the law of binding and loosing, allowing and disallowing, is with us. It's not with him. It's not with God. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. This was powerful in my life. Lori came home one time. I'm going to share a story. She had a, this is back in what, 97, I think, 1997. And she worked for Sherman Hospital at the time, and she had this perk. Every year she gets this full-blown physical, totally free, paid for by Sherman Hospital. She went to the doctor, and they found lumps in the breast and the pelvic area. And it, when she pressed down on it, Lori goes, "Ooh, that hurts. That's painful." So that's it. Ultrasound, blood work, everything. Lori's a nurse. She knows that's, those are not good words. And when I came home, I was just in the Word all day. And I just, I came home and I looked at her and it looked like somebody hit her right in the gut. I mean, I could tell something was wrong. I said, "What's up?" I didn't say, "What's going on, you know, what's the matter?" I said, "What's up?" She said, "Well, I got some bad news." I said, "Hold that thought for a minute. I have to go upstairs." Now, we lived in a townhome at the time. That meant I had to go to the bathroom. I went up to the bathroom. I said, "Lord, what about this? I mean, we're tithers. You rebuke the devourer for our sake." Right?
Yeah.
And that's true. But we have a part in it. And I didn't even get those words out of my mouth. "We're tithers. You rebuke the devourer," and immediately a flood just came in. It was ear-splitting to me, the voice of the Lord. He said, "Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And if the two of you agree on anything, I'll do it."
Amen.
My faith went through the cloud, through the roof, through the cloud, everything. It went up and just grabbed something. And I came down, and I was kind of sauntering a little bit. You know, because I just full of joy. I said, "Come on, we're going to take authority over that thing and pray." Long as we had about 20 minutes of prayer, confession of the Word of God, and she went back to the doctor, got those tests made, nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
The law of the Spirit of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Mm. There are many definitions of the word death in the scripture, but basically what it means is separation from God. And many people out, even Christians, are walking in forms of death, being separated from God, not knowing how to get their needs met, because they've tapped into these other sources other than God. But when God is your source, when he, you make him your source, am I saying don't go to the doctor? No, go to the doctor. If you have, if you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the doctor. But pray first. Show that doctor exactly what's wrong, and then I'll get the word in me to get me free from that.
Amen.
If you need an operation or surgery, get the surgery. There's no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Doctors are on the same team. They at least want to heal you. There are a lot of Christian ministers who would say, "No, God wants you sick." That's the doctrine of the devil.
Yes.
God doesn't put sickness on anybody.
Right.
You know, he's a father. He's a good father.
Yes.
And we have laws in this country that are in place to protect children from abusive parents. Is cancer a blessing?
No.
Would that, if you put cancer, if you injected cancer cells into your kid, would you be arrested?
Probably.
Yeah. Why? Because it's abuse. God is so much better father than anybody else.
Right.
None of that stuff comes from him.
Yeah.
It didn't come from anywhere except the devil when he became the God of this earth. Adam handed him the whole thing. There is no sickness or disease that is from the Lord.
Amen.
Making God your source. He is the source of your physical health. Make him the source. Make him the Lord your healer. Jehovah Rapha. He revealed himself. "I am the Lord who heals you." That's his name. Come to him. He'll help you. If you don't know how to believe him, tell him, "Lord, I don't know how to believe you for this, but please help me believe." There was a guy who said that same thing to Jesus. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus turned the whole thing around for him. He'll turn it around for you and get you out in front too.
Amen.
He's the source of your mental health. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. You know, most mental health is anchored in fear.
Right.
Most, not all of it, but the majority of it, when people are having mental problems, it's all rooted in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:7 says that. He's the source of your strength. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He doesn't tell us to be strong and just grit your teeth and grin and bear it. No, he said be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, every problem will be solved. Every problem will be solved. He's the source of your knowledge. All knowledge. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. You know, these are concepts, spiritual concepts, that people have tried to figure out in the natural, and they're two different languages. They just never do connect, you know? And people try to solve these problems, spiritual problems, with natural human answers, and they never, because they never tapped into the knowledge of God. He knows everything. He knows everything in this natural universe, every atom, every thought you have, and he loves you anyway. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. He knows everything. You can come to him with anything. He's the source of knowledge. If you need to know something, and the Bible says this, that we have the anointing that abides within and know all things. We know what we need to do. We know that he's able to help us in any situation we're in, if he's our source. Making God your source will make you, will put you right on the information highway.
Yep.
He is the source of wisdom. 1 Timothy 1:17. I wrote these afterwards, Phil, so you're okay. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He's the source of wisdom. He's the source of understanding. You know, David said this in Psalm 119. He said, "I am more..." What was the word? "I have more understanding than my teachers, because thy precepts are my meditation. Your testimonies are my meditation." I'll tell you what, if you don't have a testimony of your own, look through the testimonies that God established in the Bible. Look through those testimonies, and they'll start to minister to you. They'll start to break you out of this little box that the devil has you in your mind, and he'll start to liberate your mind, and you say, you know what, if he did it for them, he can do it for me.
Amen.
And then when you fill that over, when you meditate on it a little more, if he wanted to do that for them, then he wants to do it for me. Then you meditate on it a little longer, say, if he did it for them, he will do it for me. Amen. Then you meditate on it a little longer and say, I can speak it. I have it in the name of Jesus. I have everything that they had and then some.
Amen.
It's a process. It's a renewal. It's a renewal, making God your source.
Yes.
He's the source of all joy. You know, Hebrews 1:9 says this. It says that he was filled with the oil of gladness above his brethren because he hated iniquity and he loved righteousness. When you start making God your source, when you start to love righteousness, everything, you'll be filled with his joy. And his joy is your strength, the Bible says. He's the source of all true peace. John 14:27, Jesus, "My peace I give you." My peace. The very peace that calmed that storm. The very peace that he used during his life to walk right through the midst of people who were trying to stone him. All of the peace is an amazing thing, the peace of God. It'll keep you out of trouble. He's the source of all truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the source of all love. 1 John 4:16 says, "God is love." God loves you. He's the source of every victory you'll ever have or ever need. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, who is our banner of victory. God doesn't know defeat. Jesus was never defeated in any situation he was ever in. He had the answer before he walked into it. He was filled with it. He had the very source of life, power, knowledge, everything right inside of him. And when wherever he walked, he had everything he needed. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And he said, you go do the same. Source of righteousness. He is the source of life itself. John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. If you're in a dark place, turn to the light and let that light shine in your darkness and start giving you information. Start focusing on the light and not the darkness. Start focusing on the answers that come and not the problems that exist. On the solutions and not the situation. Look, the devil wants to crowd you in. He wants to drive you with guilt, drive you with condemnation, drive you with fear. That's all out there under the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life lifts you above it, puts you out in front, gets you out in front of the devil. You got to understand, Jesus operates at the speed of light, and the devil is total darkness. If you knew how powerless he really is, this stuff wouldn't bother you. He uses your own words, your own thoughts, your own personality and so forth that you have adapted and said, well, this is just me. I can't change. I can't do. Really? No, you are not that way. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, created unto good works which he prepared before you. He has a plan already. You are a new creation. You're not just a mere person. We just studied that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this Wednesday. We had a Bible study. He says, in that there are divisions and strife among you, are you not mortal? And walk as mere men? God doesn't even look at you as a mere man or a mere woman. He looks at you as if you were Jesus. That's got to do something to you. It does something to me. You write these down. He called himself Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He called himself Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He called himself Jehovah Rea, the Lord our shepherd. He called himself Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He called himself Jehovah Shama, the ever-present one, or the God who is there. He's always there. He called himself Jehovah Nisi, the banner of victory. He called himself Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Everything that you need, he's already called himself. He has called himself Jehovah Makadesh, the one who makes us holy. On your best day, you can't make yourself holy. But when he came inside of your life, was birthed in you, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were made holy.
Amen.
By Jehovah Makadesh. You were lifted up to his level. He said, you're mine. You're mine. We're going to close. Does this help you?
Yes.
That was pretty weak. You know, just talking about these things opens us up to a whole bunch of new possibilities. But it'll really help you change the game and get out in front if you apply these in your life, so that you'll recognize when you're being driven, when you're being compelled by condemnation. You'll recognize it when you are under the thumb, the pressures of this life. You can say, I'm feeling the pressure. That's not you, Lord, is it? He said, no, it's not me. What do we do? He has an answer. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we We thank you that your word is forever. It will never fail. It will never fall short. It is complete in and of itself, that you are complete. That even before the eons, in eons and eons of time ago, you didn't need us. You weren't lonely, so you made man. We've heard that preached. But if you were lonely, then you would have been incomplete. But you are total and complete before that. But Lord, you lavish your love upon us. You lavish us in such a way that the dearest thing to you was sacrificed for us. To bring us into that oneness with you by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Your blood. We thank you for the privilege of having this word delivered to us so that we can know the depths of your heart and your thoughts toward us. The innumerable thoughts and powerful love that you have for us. I'm going to ask you that if you have never received Jesus Christ, this Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father,
I
believe Jesus Christ
came
into this world
and
died for me.
I receive
the forgiveness of my sins through his blood. I receive him as my Savior.
Jesus,
you are my Lord and Savior.
From
this moment forward, I'll live for you
all
the days of my life.
Amen.
If you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, I want you to come up here after we break for service and tell me so I can pray with you. We can have a prayer together. I'd like that. If you want to recommit yourself to some of the principles that we talked about today and just put them behind you, you can come up for prayer too after we dismiss. I want to have a chance to pray with you. Thank you for your presence. Amen. You are dismissed. There is fellowship in our cafe. And just want you to know I love you.
I love you.
You're dismissed.